following from that, could you paint us a picture as to what our role is as human beings in the whole scope of the created order when it comes to expressing the worship of God?
If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, the task of the human beings made in God's image is to reflect God into the world. I see the image-bearingness in terms of an angled mirror. If you imagine God looking down and being reflected by this angled mirror into the rest of creation. And likewise, the rest of creation is being reflected back to God. And that's something about what human beings are there for, to be God's wise stewards looking after creation, but also to gather up everything that the creation has been doing and to come and present it before God. As in Genesis chapter 1, human beings are made to be the flower and the crown of creation. And then the whole point is to voice creation's praise, to take the inanimate, apparently inarticulate praise of creation. You get it in the Psalms, of course, about the trees clapping their hands and the hills celebrating and the valleys shouting for joy and singing. Now, if you've got the right sort of ears, you may just be able to hear in the music of the wind and so on, a bit of that going on. But of course, in a sense, it's a metaphor. And the point is that when the psalmists are doing what they're doing, they are putting into articulate speech the fact that all creation is praising God. And so you get the sequence of thought in Revelation 4, where creation is saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. That is simply what creation is doing. And then the humans say, the 24 elders say, you are worthy to receive this praise because you created all things. What we humans do is we add the word because to what creation does. We are given a mind to understand that God is worthy. And so instead of just doing this worship thing like the trees and the waterfalls do, we are given the task of thinking why we would do it and then choosing to do it. So it's a choice to sum up the praises of creation, and we make that choice and we come into church or kneel down to pray or whatever. And then out beyond that, as the next stage, we then say, but wait a minute, something's wrong with the world. This is Revelation 5. And then we are told, but the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who is also the Lamb who was slain, has dealt with that which was wrong. And now there is a new dimension to the same sequence of praise. It's as though up until now it's all been in black and white, been perfectly valid, but that's okay. And now it's suddenly all in color. And the color is redemption. You ransomed men and women for God from every tribe and tongue and people and language. So we have this kind of layer upon layer of praise, all creation, human beings gathering that up, human beings recognizing that something is wrong with the world and that in Christ God has dealt with it. And so this crescendo of praise, and it's all about God and what God has done, is doing, and will do. And to what extent is it about me? Well, I come in on the coattails of that because I am caught up and swept up in it. And I don't have to worry if I'm feeling it at the moment. Ironically, I'm more likely to feel it if I don't start off wondering whether I'm feeling it or not.